From SLB Radio in Pittsburgh, Youth Express, the nation's first 24/7 radio station devoted to youth writing, music, and conversation.
I don't know why some people look down on people who either give up on college or never go in the first place.
There are people that just hate you because of your race or ethnicity, but we are definitely making progress based on.
She's hungry for everything, the life within, trying to find her way around again. Looking and searching is what she's doing.
So I followed my brother down to the riverbank, and we donned our skates. While Lev hurried, I tarried. While Lev trudged through the slush, I caught a flake on my tongue.
My parents are from Bhutan. They migrate to Nepal, and I born there, and I moved here in the US. So it's a long journey to get here.
Today, poetry by Lin Kuei Holt and a radio drama written by students in Clareton's after-school program. But first, a documentary from three high school students about the school-to-prison pipeline and its impact on civic engagement.
This is what democracy looks like!
Show me what democracy looks like!
This is what democracy looks like!
Show me what democracy...
America, we say, this is what democracy looks like. But over 6 million people are denied the right to vote, with countless others in the school-to-prison pipeline who are set up to be disenfranchised.
The deterioration of democracy begins at an early age through school suspension policies. Students are tracked into the criminal justice system, which disengages millions of people from civic society and ultimately perpetuates the cycle all over again.
Dr. Christopher Eugen from the University of Minnesota argues that felon disenfranchisement goes far beyond the issue of criminal justice reform.
If there's 6 million people that you can just ignore, then that shifts the terms of the debate on things like minimum wage laws, anti-poverty policies, public safety policies. Those were people that neither Hillary Clinton nor Donald Trump had to think about or consider their preferences, which represents a dilution of democracy.
And that dilution of democracy starts with school disciplinary policies. According to Thomas J. Catlaw of Arizona State University and Aaron Kupchik at the University of Delaware, there are large discrepancies in punishment rates between white youth and youth of color.
Those discrepancies are manifested in school suspensions that exclude students from many opportunities, such as field trips, summer schools, and after-school activities. According to Pam Harbin, co-founder and lead organizer of Education Rights Network, suspensions have a chilling effect on child development and their social skills education.
Students were missing an exorbitant amount of days of school, and those critical years are years where you learn to read and where you learn to be able to socialize with your peers in a community.
Catlaw and Kupchik found that those who had been suspended from school are less likely to volunteer as adults and have an 18.6% lower voting frequency than those who were not suspended.
And all of this is detrimental because it leads to a lack of civic education and participation, which creates a cycle of inequity for those who are most vulnerable.
Black and brown students are disproportionately pushed out in this system and wind up off the educational track and onto juvenile justice, criminal justice, and poverty.
The overrepresentation of Black and brown people who are suspended can be traced into the school-to-prison pipeline and eventually the criminal justice system. One example of this is the disproportionate number of Black and Hispanic people who are incarcerated.
The NAACP reports that although African Americans and Hispanics make up approximately 32% of the U.S. population, they comprised 56% of all incarcerated people in 2015.
Overall, 6.1 million Americans are ineligible to vote due to a felony conviction, according to Dr. Eugen.
Because people with felony convictions lack the ability to participate in voting, one of the most basic forms of civic activity, this leads to the perpetuation of unjust policies that do not fairly represent all citizens.
And this is especially devastating to those who have been historically marginalized in America from its creation.
Richard Garland is an assistant professor of public health practice at the University of Pittsburgh and has spent his entire adult career dedicated to working with youth and preventing violence. He shared his experience in the criminal justice system.
So I got kicked out of school when I was 16 years old. But I'm looking at all of us that didn't go to school. We got involved in the drug game. That changed everything because then they locked us all up.
Many people who are tracked into the criminal justice system are pulled away from years of valuable and life-changing education. This negatively impacts civic engagement because it does little to provide citizens with the knowledge they need to make informed political decisions. Again, Dr. Eugen.
We learn how to vote from our parents, from others in our community. And when individuals are disenfranchised, that can really dilute the voting strength of families, of groups, for generations.
Without the proper guidance or family support to help create change starting at home, it can be extremely difficult to break this cycle of inequity.
There's a whole lot of different barriers that the system puts up, and it makes it so that they go back to jail. And I was caught in that revolving door.
As these barriers persist, thus the cycle continues. My name is May Knight.
I'm Nick Becker.
And I'm Maya Almusa.
And if we don't acknowledge the truth, then the cycle will continue.
This documentary was part of a series called Getting to the Point, featuring summer youth philanthropy interns from the Heinz Endowments. Now, here's Linque Holt, a 15-year-old from Westinghouse High School, with her poem, Pain.
Pain isn't a game, but people use that as fame. Emotions aren't a game, but tears are something peers shouldn't see. But the street's not safe, I'll always run away. Even when I'm away, people take advantage of our pain. We use other emotions to hide it. In the case, the pain, is it a shame that we're used as a game? People wear makeup to hide who they are. People use it against you. But my pain, it's not a game. Why, people might ask? Well, I can tell you why. A million thoughts in my head. Those thoughts are, am I worth it? Is fighting going to solve anything? Can my pain go away? Can somebody take me away from my pain? Should have let my heart keep listening, but I can't decide what's wrong and what's right. I don't know the way I should take. Most of those thoughts are questions. Am I crazy? Maybe. But my pain, that's not the only thing that bugs me. My insecurities start to kick in. Insecure about my smile, my hair, my eye color, my body weight, etc. If only I knew why I was battling for what's wrong and what's right. There are so many things that I really do regret in my past. I regret fighting, feeling worthless, being in an abusive relationship. There's more I can name, but I've said too much already. If only they knew my pain that I have inside. Just like before, pain hurts. Four words can sum up everything. Pain is no game, never a game, never.
Our last segment features Clareton Middle School students with an original radio drama about a strange mind swap.
Castle Productions presents Mysterious Monday. It was a normal morning for everyone in Clareton, except for Bobby Oldkirk, an eighth grader at Clareton Middle School, who has switched bodies with his math teacher, Mr. Ninko.
Wait, what the heck? Why do I sound different? All right, this can't be right. I'm tripping. All right, let me go to the bathroom real quick. Why do I look like my math teacher? Why do I sound like him? Oh my gosh. This can't be happening. Oh God. I gotta go to school. I gotta talk to my friends. Gonzalez, I need help. I need help, like, really bad.
But Mr. Nanko, I can't help you with your relationship issues anymore. You need to talk to your wife about this.
It's not Mr. Nanko. It's Bobby Oldkirk. We're in the same classes.
You know, but Mr. Nanko, I think you need to go back home.
I'm not tripping.
No.
Gonzalez, I'm not tripping.
No.
Gonzalez, I'm not tripping.
Prove it. Prove it. Prove it, bruh. Prove it. You can't. You liar.
Mr. Nanko, don't you have a class to teach?
I'm sorry, Principal. Mr. Principal, I'll go teach class.
Good. You're walking a fine line, mister. If you mess up one more time, if you teach kids incorrect math one more time, you're done. You hear me? I'm going to run you out of this school. This school's a good school.
Yes, sir. Can I bring Gonzalez with me?
I'm in your class, stupid.
Hey, you don't call your teacher stupid.
Yeah, Gonzalez. Let's go. Now. Gonzalez, can you come up and show us how you solved this equation?
You're the teacher. You do it.
Can I speak to you in private, Gonzalez? G- Gonzalez, you remember that time little Timmy destroyed my baking soda, volcano, and, you helped me rebuild it in less than 20 minutes?
That was 2 months ago,
Exactly, I'm the only one that knows that.
No. Why did you make up something like that?
Because I'm Bobby Oldkirk. You gotta help me.
I don't know what to do. I'm not a wizard. You got a class to teach.
I will give you the math book if you just explain to the class what to do.
We're in the same grade. Why don't you explain what to do?
I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do this math thing.
We're both in the advanced class. How don't you know how to do it?
Let me say this. I don't understand the math here.
Neither do I. You think I can do it? No.
Then we gotta bring somebody else in to teach the class.
Yo. Go find Mr. Nanko. Go find the actual Mr. Nanko.
All right, Gonzalez, we gotta find my buddy. All right, so Mr. Nanko would probably drive to the hospital to figure out what's happening. So let's go to the hospital. We'll find him, and then we'll just figure this out. All right, let's go to the hospital. Come on, Gonzalez, you're coming with me. You're supposed to help me. All right, so we gotta find Mr. Manko's car. Which car do you think it is?
The car that looks like a teacher's car? I mean, all of the other cars look nice, and they look like they got good income. We all know teachers ain't got no good income. It gotta be a smart car.
A smart car. All right, so I'm gonna click this car alarm button to make sure it will do the beep beep.
Why don't car alarm? You know, you're stupid. You see, a car alarm makes it go woo woo woo. You don't want to do that. Just unlock the door and see.
I find it. It's the only one with the car alarm going off for some reason. All right, let's go.
Do you know how to drive a car?
We're only 14. You think I know how to drive a dang car?
I don't know. My friend knows how to drive a car. You know, Casey knows how to drive a car. Casey knows how to drive a car.
Oh, God. All right, I'll start it up and then you shift gears.
Wait. Oh, dang. Casey doesn't know how to drive stick shift.
All right, so let's do this.
You don't even got your seatbelt on. You little nasty.
Be quiet, Gonzalez. Can you, shift the gear in reverse?
Why don't you shift the gear in reverse? You're the one driving.
I don't know which one reverse. It doesn't say.
It'd be the one that says R.
It doesn't say R or reverse or second or third. Oh, wait, it does.
Yeah.
I guess it's a good thing it's Mr. Nanko's car.
Oh my god.
Oh god, the cops.
Why is this a registration, sir?
Yes, sir. 1 second. Gonzalez, grab the registration.
I don't know where it is. This ain't my car.
It's in the glove... It's in the glove department right in front of you.
Oh, okay. Here you go.
Sir, is that your child?
No, it's one of my students.
You should have never said that. Now you sound weird.
I'm gonna need you to step out of the car, sir.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Youth Express. Youth Express is made possible with support from the Henry L. Hillman Foundation, the Pittsburgh Penguins Foundation, and the 33 Foundation, and was produced by SLB Radio Productions. Learn more at youthexpress.org. Youth Express, catch the future.